Now to our guest today. Prescription for Nutritional Healing, a comprehensive, up-to-date self-help guide. I mean, that would qualify just that particular statement. Self-help guide qualify for a place on this show, to say the least. All kinds of issues, including things about vitamins, nutrition, diet, minerals, water, antioxidants, ascorbic acid, flushes, enemas. Oh, we got to get into that. Fasting, juicing. Pretty comprehensive. I think that you're going to find this hour interesting, informative, and you may even get some tips on how to solve some of your health problems. I'd like to welcome to our show Dr. James Balsh. Dr. Balsh, MD, hello.
Hello, doctor. How are you doing?
Well, I'm just fine. You and Phyllis, who's your wife of many years, I assume?
Yeah, she's the driving force behind it. You know, we doctors have to have good women behind it.
Oh, I couldn't disagree with you at all. What kind of a physician are you? What kind of an MD, a medical doctor are you?
Well, I happen to be a surgeon, a genitourinary surgeon for 35 years.
I see.
But in the last 20 years, I've changed my opinion about things rather dramatically and began to incorporate nutritional support systems in my practice. And I right now confine most of my work to try and teach people how to stay well.
And what part of the country are you located in?
Well, we're in near Indianapolis. We live in a community of Greenfield, Indiana, which is just east of Indianapolis. Phyllis owns a nutritional center here called the Good Things Naturally. She's had a nutritional restaurant here, and I still practice medicine here. But we travel a great deal. We find that people are they're very, very interested in how to stay well. It's too expensive to get sick.
Well, but you left a very lucrative practice. I mean, general urinary surgery, a urologist, is
a very
successful way to practice medicine. And to tell people about vitamins and minerals and so on, unless you have your own vitamin and mineral company, is not a very lucrative way to go.
Well, frankly, the patients have encouraged me. I've seen them get better. I still operate on the occasional patient, too, doctor. You know, there's still a place for stone extractions and operating procedures, even on the prostate, if the male can't urinate, that sort of thing. You can't throw those things away. But
well, let's get back to those and also the prescription for nutritional healing after this commercial break. And good morning, this is Dr. John McDougall on the Northern California Radio Network. My guest, Dr. James Balsh, MD, wrote a book with his wife, Phyllis Balsh. It is a very popular book. You see it all over the place, and many people around the area refer to it as their nutritional Bible, prescription for nutritional healing. And I assume you can get this in health food stores. How about regular old bookstores?
Yes, you can get it in all the major bookstores. I might say, too, that we've written another book, Doctor, that I think is probably even more appropriate right now. It's called Prescription for Cooking and Dietary Wellness. It's all about food. Well, we've learned that foods heal. It's the most amazing thing that doctors aren't taught that, that there are things actually in our foods that help heal people. I became intrigued with garlic some years ago. I found it was mentioned in the scripture, which I'm very much interested in. And then I found out why that was so. I attended the first international congress on garlic, if you can imagine, in 1990. They presented almost 80 papers from all over the world to show that garlic, especially the aged garlic extract, enhanced immunity, improved circulation, lowered cholesterol, lowered your blood pressure, did just about everything for you. Surprised me and shocked me. So I began to use it more and more in my practice, and I encourage my patients to use it as a part of the supplemental approach to treating some of the disorders that they have.
Well, you use various things as supplements, foods as supplements, herbs as supplements, vitamins and minerals as supplements, but do you have a basic kind of diet that you think is right for people?
Well, I think so. I've become more and more convinced that the more animal products we put in our body, the bigger problem we have. I'm not a strict vegetarian by any means. I think some of us actually need animal products, but unfortunately, the way the animals are raised and so on, we run into tremendous problems with the animal products. So I tend to steer my patients into a more vegetarian-type approach. We talk a lot in our more recent book, the Dietary Wellness book, about juicing. We think juices and a combination of juices with specific herbs help what we call speed healing. We talk specifically about different disorders that are affected by these specific live juices. We think that's a good way to approach it. I don't think there's any ideal diet for everybody, but I like the idea of going into the vegetarian area. I think that's big and helpful for most people.
Well, Dr. James Balsh, I just want to point out one perspective that I'm getting from our conversation is that you have kind of carried the traditional medical model over into the use of supplements to do things to people. You know, in medicine, the way we're taught, as you recall, is instead of dealing with the basics like good food, exercise, cleaning up bad health habits, what we do is we give drugs to cause effects.
That's right.
Now, what I see you doing in this book and in our conversation so far is you giving drugs to cause effects, just like we were trained in medical school. It's just that you believe these drugs, I assume, are less toxic and more effective.
Well, that's right. It's a little tough to shake off all the old programming, Doctor. I admit that. And I think as I've as we've grown in understanding this, and I have to admit my wife, she's far ahead of me, but I was very programmed into the system. I think most of us doctors are that way. We think that there's a pill for every ill. I'm learning that's not so. I'm trying to teach people and myself even to change their thinking about foods and so on. And but I have a problem in people who would say that they can eat three squares a day and everything's all right. I don't think they can get that kind of food today, even under the most ideal circumstances. For that reason, I think supplementation is very important. But again, I'm just learning. I've only been at it about 15, 20 years now, and I don't know everything. But
well, let me just explore that a little bit more with you, because a lot of people say that. They say, well, the way our food is today, we can't get the vitamins and minerals that nature intended. And quite honestly, I have a little problem with that statement. Number one, from a scientific point of view, I don't see that when I see nutritional analyses done of the various foods. And number two, you know, the food is grown in the ground and the minerals are found in the ground, and we get such a tremendous variety of foods compared to what we got before all this modern transportation and refrigeration. So we get food from all kinds of areas with many different types of vitamins, or excuse me, many types of minerals in the grounds that they were grown in. And the other thing is the wide variety that we get in our diet, I think pretty much guarantees that we get most of the vitamins, even though I've heard people say that storage and freezing and cooking and so on destroy the vitamins. Yet, you know, when I look at the nutritional requirements that has been set up by scientific studies, and I also look at the nutritional content of our various fruits and vegetables, as long as we go for fruits and vegetables mostly, which you're advocating, it's real hard for me to rationalize that there's a problem there.
Well, it's obvious that we don't think the same way, Doctor.
But I mean, no. Do you have any scientific evidence that says this?
Yes, I would say the evidence is that our people are sick.
Well, yes, but is it due to...
Would you disagree with that?
Oh, heavens no. But, you know, I'll tell you the way I look at it, Dr. Balsh, is I look at it from the point of view it's not a problem of deficiencies. I see very few problems of deficiencies in our society. Not that I don't want you to think I'm all negative on vitamin supplements. I just want to get some groundwork in here. I see terrible diseases in our country, but I don't see them in terms of deficiencies. In other words, I don't see anything that resembles scurvy, beriberi, pellagra, protein deficiency, amino acid deficiency. But when I turn my vision 180 degrees and look at the problem from the perspective of excess salt, excess fat, excess protein, excess cholesterol, excess processing of the food, you know, then I see the whole problem.
Yeah, I see that too, Doctor. There's no question about that. We certainly do live in a gluttonous generation, that's for sure.
But I just wanted to kind of lay that foundation for you. But then, you know, I have kind of matured my thinking in terms of vitamins, minerals, herbs, and supplements thanks to people like you and other folks who have had a different perspective, because, as you know, I came from a traditional medical background, and I see value, and I use it as second-line therapy in some of the things you've talked about so far, such as garlic to lower cholesterol, and vitamin C and vitamin E in the dry form to lower cholesterol, and of course, niacin is a very potent cholesterol-lowering non-prescription vitamin approach. So I don't want you to think I'm unsympathetic. I just kind of wanted to get things...
Oh, I understand. I think that I'm coming that direction, too. I think that's our more recent book about food tends to reflect that, because... I think in my background, as I said earlier, pill for every ill, you
right.
know, and the more sophisticated pill, the better. But it was difficult for me to break that frame of reference away.
Let's get to some of our callers and see,
yeah.
and after this break, and see if they have questions about ills and whether you have some interesting pills to prescribe for them. This is Dr. John McDougall, my guest, Dr. James Balsh, M.D., and, of course, Phyllis Balsh, the brains behind this, I guess. I'll be back with you in just a moment. Prescription for Nutritional Healing is the name of the older book that I have. And could you give us the name of the newer book, Dr. James Balsh?
Yes, it's called Prescription for Cooking and Dietary Wellness. It's a book that has been in the marketplace about 6 months. It's been very well received. It's all about food, John.
And it's using food as to cause effects in people, like garlic to cause effects. And are there any other medicinal foods that we could relate to?
Yes, I would mention a few. For instance, we have sections in the book that are chart-like. People like to look at charts, and we've talked about, for instance, if you want to enhance, you have a problem with your skin, we found that certain vegetables are good for the skin. We found that the leafy green vegetables, that avocados and beets and broccoli and carrots, etc., are important for skin. If you have a problem with your thyroid gland, whether it's overactive or underactive, we've learned that Brussels sprouts and cabbage and cauliflower and dandelions and onions and parsley and so on are all good for the thyroid gland. As we were talking earlier, we have a problem, we doctors. I have to say I'm a doctor of some years in this business of surgery, trying to treat diseases, and I think there's still a place for that, but I think in my understanding of things, I've gotten over to the place where I realize that if we can teach our people to eat the proper foods, that they can maintain a state of good health without even supplementing their diet, as you say. Most people are unable to do that, though, because they like to eat certain foods. So thereby, supplements do play a major role in health care, as I understand it today, Doctor.
Well, tell me, do you use this kind of food and vitamin and herb therapy in your actual everyday practice?
Yes, I do. I do it every single day. I've had people in my practice here this morning. I've seen 5 or 6 patients who have advanced cancer. I find that a lot of people travel from all over to talk to me about their cancers. I try to teach them that they have to enhance their immune system, that cancer and many of our disorders today are manifestations of immune deficiency. So we talk basically in terms of foods that enhance the immune system. We mentioned garlic earlier. That's one classic example. But we also discuss in our dietary wellness book the what we call the cruciferous or the magnificent 12 vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, kohlrabi, a few others. These things all have substances in them that God's put there to enhance our immune function. People don't know that, maybe don't know how to prepare the foods either. That's another part of the book. It's full of recipes, which my wife has used in her store and her restaurant here for years.
Well, let me just ask you, just to kind of get back to the regular point that we talked about a minute ago, let me just ask you, are there any immune-enhancing chemicals in beef, chicken, cheese, and ice cream?
No.
Okay, well, I just wondered, because there are some people out there thinking he probably left something out, and I can hardly wait till he gets to the ice cream part and the candy bar part, because I want to hear about the vitamins and minerals and enhancing parts of those.
No, I love ice cream, but I don't think that it enhances your immune system very much.
It puts a big smile on your face, though, doesn't it?
Let's
go to our phone calls and talk to Dorothy in Sebastopol. Dorothy, you're on with Dr. James Balsh.
Good morning.
Hello.
Dr. Balsh.
Hello.
Dr. Balsh, I have been taking a capsule every other morning of coenzyme Q10.
Yeah.
I would like to know if you know about it and
yes,
what your opinion is.
Yeah, I'd like to know, too. This is something they ask me about all the time. I don't know anything about it. So really give me the full word on this, okay?
Well, coenzyme Q10 is an expensive supplement. You have to be very careful that you don't get caught with a product that is not what it says it is. You can generally tell coenzyme Q10 by its color. Good deep yellow color is one of a quality product. The way it works, as I understand it, is to enhance oxygenation of the tissues at all levels. Discovered first through the Japanese work who discovered kaolic garlic and so on and so forth. Yes, I recommend it, but there are other products that I think do just as good a job. But coenzyme Q10 is very a famous supplement. I use it in some of my patients.
Good.
I think there are other ways that you can oxygenate your cells just as well, frankly.
Well, Doctor, it seems it gives me energy. I'm in my early 70s, and it gives me, I go to fitness, but I take it every other morning, and it gives me a great deal more energy and makes me feel good.
Well, I would continue to take it then if it does. Well, I don't think that it can hurt you, but as I say...
What are some of the other make me feel good, perk me up type of things that you could take that may be a little cheaper?
I like a product recently... been using a lot of it's a sublingual B complex preparation. I think it's called Perfect Bees. It's a put under the tongue. It's a liquid, rapidly absorbed into the system. I think that as we age, we need more of these B vitamins. We have problems absorbing these nutrients. I was very pleased with the injectable bees in many of the older patients that I took care of, and now I found that this tends to be a substitute for that. So that's a good energy enhancer too, but of course the B vitamins are extremely important. Like they act like coenzymes too, like this coenzyme Q10.
Yes, well, and now this...
Dorothy, we'll have to hold you there just a second because we have to go for a break. We'll keep you on hold and we'll get to the rest of your questions in just a minute. This is Dr. John McDougall on the Northern California Radio Network. My guest, Dr. James Balch, he's an MD who is, I guess, out of the fold. Oh, well. This is Dr. John McDougall. I'll be back with you in just a few moments. The books, and there are two of them out now, Prescription for Nutritional Healing and Prescription for Cooking and Dietary Wellness. The authors are Dr. James Balch and his wife, Phyllis Balch, who, Phyllis, as we've heard, is the one that kind of enlightened this man. And I understand that because there were some, you know, in my history, in my past, there were many lay folks, in other words, non-doctor types, who got me thinking about things a little bit differently. And thank goodness that people all don't think like doctors. Otherwise, we'd go no place. This is Dr. John McDougall on the Northern California Radio Network. And Dr. Balch's book contains some interesting things, to say the least. It contains discussions on vitamins, minerals, herbs, and chelation therapy. We'll get into chelation therapy a little bit. And colon cleansing. I mentioned that. Colon cleansing and enemas. We've got to get a little bit of information from Dr. Balch on the importance of colon cleansing and enemas. Hair analysis, likewise, is somewhat of a controversial issue. Dr. Balch, you talk a little bit about colon cleansing and chelation therapy and enemas in your book. Can you kind of give us the short on how you feel about that?
Well, I think there's a definite place for colon cleansing. There are a lot of people who believe that if your colon's full of junk that you're going to be in deep trouble. I tend to agree with that. I think it can be carried to an extreme, however, but I have seen rectal supplementation. I'll put it that way. The Europeans call it using small amounts of rectal implants, various substances. I've seen Laetril used. I've seen B vitamins used. We use cleansing enemas to keep the colon clean. We use small amounts of substances. For instance, we find using the B vitamins intrarectally are a great benefit. We find that using coffee in small amounts tends to detoxify the liver. So we find that enemas are of some benefit.
All right, let's ask about this colon cleansing thing. Let me ask about that a little bit more because I want to tell you one of the problems that I've had with people who are colon therapists. Not that I don't think they do some good in certain areas, but some of the stories they tell I have a difficult time with, and you as a surgeon ought to either be able to confirm or refute my problem. And that is that they say that the colon is lined with years of collections of gunk. And that when you go in there with this enema, this high enema, high water enema, you wash out these layers and layers that are coated on the inside of the colon. Now, Dr. James Balch, I've been in thousands of abdomens, and I bet I've had a chance to watch the opening up of hundreds of colons, and I've yet to see a colon that meets that description. Can you help me there?
I agree with you, Doctor. Use of colonoscopy today, they can clean out the colon and almost instantly. You know,
well, castor oil will do the same thing.
Yes, sir, it will. So I don't believe that that's a major problem. I like the idea, though. What I've learned is that the colon has a tremendous absorptive ability. And by using small amounts of substances in a small enema, we can absorb these nutrients into the body rather dramatically. So we've incorporated that in some of our therapies, and I think it's helped. I wouldn't have believed that it worked for a while, but I think that it does help. I think there's some merit. I don't like the idea of using a high, hot, and a lot enema over and over again. You see, that's not smart, and I've seen many, many problems in that area. So I would agree with you.
All right, let's talk to Patty in Kelseyville. You're on with Dr. Balch.
Hi, Dr. Balch.
Hello.
I'm 35 years old, and I'm on about my 3.5 weeks of bleeding now, and I'm on my period. And I went to a clinic about a week ago, and pretty much what they thought was going on was that I didn't ovulate, and so I didn't have the progesterone to oppose the estrogen. And so they had said that, you know, and I read in the Merck manual some things about, I guess, dysfunctional uterine bleeding, whatever. I eat a fairly healthy diet. I don't go totally no meat, no fats, no oils, but I am going to go more that way. But I'm looking for an alternative to doing the Provera or some kind of hormonal therapy.
Yeah, again, as a matter of fact, if I could get you to address that kind of as a generic type of thing. A lot of people ask me, they tell me they don't like to take hormone supplements. And so things get suggested to me, Dr. Balch, such as certain types of Mexican yams? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm trying to learn about this kind of stuff. Do you know any natural hormone supplements?
I have a problem with the hormones. I really do. I think that I have a very good friend who is a professor of medicine and is in charge of the breast cancer clinic here at Indiana University and our medical school. And although he would recommend using such as tamoxifen to counteract the effect of estrogens for the breast cancer patients, he will not come out and tell me that estrogens or progesterone have anything to do with the cause of breast cancer. I particularly believe that if it's possible, and there are some women who just can't get along without having supplemental estrogens, I understand that, but if it's possible, I don't think that it's a wise idea to use estrogens. I don't think it's a wise idea to try and manipulate the women in terms of the problem like this lady's talking to us about. It may be that she needs to have her bleeding controlled. 3.5 weeks, that's a long time. You run into big problems. You wonder in terms of if there's something isn't wrong in the internal workings of her uterine lining, and that she doesn't need to have that lining stripped away at DNC and start over again without estrogens or progesterone. I have a real problem with estrogens.
All right, well, I'd like to hear if you know of any substitute estrogens that women...
Yes, I think
we'll get to that in just a second, Dr. Balch. We've got to take care of paying the piper now. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Dr. John McDougall on the Northern California Radio Network. And I have to tell you, Dr. Balch, this is the first time I've had two people that work with me request a book of a guest. I've already got this one book that I have spoken for, and you're probably going to get... a request for another book. So obviously people will take to it well, and I can see why, because it's so nicely laid out in terms of different problems and specific solutions for those problems in terms of taking various supplements and other manipulations. This is Dr. John McDougall on the Northern California Radio Network, and Dr. Balch's book goes into many important things like pain control, how to use a poultice. I mean, a poultice, what an old remedy. I can remember as a kid having abscesses. And I get cuts and I get abscesses, and my father would make up a poultice, and that's the way I was treated, rather than going to the doctor all the time. Sitz baths, well, of course, that's pretty traditional therapy for hemorrhoid problems. You sit in a bath of water, and any good doctor in the country is going to recommend sitz baths, spelled S-I-T-Z-B-A-T-H-S, and it works well, cleansing the hemorrhoids and quieting the inflammation. But, of course, Dr. Balch is a surgeon, and to... make this kind of step from surgery to rather natural healing, to rather stepping out of line, must have created at least a few problems for him, if not some satisfactions, too. Dr. Balch, you talk in here about poultices, and I imagine as a surgeon that we didn't learn about that kind of stuff in medical school, did we?
No, I didn't learn about that there, doctor. No, I didn't. That's really an amazing thing, you know, but there really isn't anything new under the sun. I mean, these things have been known for centuries, and we still ought to try and use them. Frankly, and many of the things that we use to help people hurts them more than helps them. So I find that things like poultices do help, sure.
Well, from a surgeon point of view, I'm a little surprised we don't do more of that. Some of the interesting natural things that I remember getting in my training, what they're still using in terms of surgeries, we used to use
papayas, raw papayas on wounds to debride them and help clean them. I mean,
that's
this was right in the hospital. Honey on wounds to prevent infections. I mean, so they
still do that a little bit.
I mean, this is really standard medicine.
Why, sure, that's just logical too. I mean, you know, one of the problems that disturbs me, I'm sure disturbs you too, is that we tend to forget about the oath that we took, if you will. We're not to hurt people. The Hippocratic oath tells us not to hurt people, and unfortunately, I think we do more harm than good sometimes.
Yes, the new oath is to make sure the profit at the hospital is adequate so everybody's well taken care of. We have Dave in Alameda. Hello, Dave. You're on the line.
Hello, Dr. McJewell.
Hello.
Dr. Balsh, I have a question about osteoporosis.
Yes.
My mother's about 75 and in kind of advanced stages, and her physician has suggested a hormone treatment, an injectable calcitonin. And I'd wondered what your opinion is on that, and also, do you have any dietary recommendations that could possibly take the place of that?
And also add that other question in that I asked you before, and that is natural hormone supplements, so that if women don't want to take things like doctor-prescribed Premarin or progestin.
Well, I would say that, first of all, there are natural estrogen promoters. When the female ages, the estrogen production goes down. Osteoporosis may be a result of that. Notice I say maybe. I don't like the idea of using estrogens as supplements, but you can promote estrogens by using such things as the herb Dong Quai is one, ginseng is another. Primrose oil is an excellent vitamin E-like product that tends to enhance estrogen production. We think that vitamin E is very important. The doctor mentioned wild yams. Yes, that's so. Suma, sage, red clover, all these things act as estrogen promoters. She needs to have calcium in her diet. Excellent form of calcium is kale or all the green leafy vegetables. In fact, I don't think that calcium can be obtained well from dairy sources. In fact, because of the processing of the milk, the ability to get the calcium out of the milk is almost lost. So I think we need to look to other sources. As I said, kale and the green leafy vegetables are excellent sources of it. We have a whole section in our Prescription for Nutritional Healing book about osteoporosis. There are natural ways to go about it. Calcitonin is something that I'm not that greatly familiar with. I know it's rather expensive, so I don't think I'd go that direction since there are other alternatives that you might use.
Well, Dr. Balsh, as a urologist, have you gotten involved in the physiologic effect of animal protein on the kidneys, causing the kidneys to lose tremendous amounts of calcium and setting a person up for kidney stones and osteoporosis?
Doctor, I know where you're driving. No, I haven't had a lot of experience
okay.
in that.
It's well written in the urologic literature. In fact, there's a study that was published in the British Journal of Urology back just a few years ago, which was titled, Should Recurrent Stone Formers Become Vegetarians?
Uh-huh.
And the answer is yes, they should, because the high animal protein in the diet washes the calcium out of the body into the urine, creating stones, and of course that calcium comes from the bones, and we get osteoporosis.
I say amen to that.
So
I think too, along that same line, you need plenty of good quality water.
Good morning. This is Dr. John McDougall on the Northern California Radio Network. Dr. James Balsh, MD, former specialist in urology, because I don't think his heart's in urology anymore. I think his heart is in the nutritional healing. And the books are Prescription for Nutritional Healing and also Prescription for Cooking and Dietary Wellness. Well, I at least have to say something for the change in your vocation. I bet you hurt a lot fewer people.
Yeah, well, I've been very encouraged by what I've seen, Doctor. I know that you've went through that too. I just can't tell your audience how important it is to take an active role in your health care. Right now, one of the biggest issues in this nation is what to do about the cost of health care. Well, I think they've missed the boat, and I think you probably would agree. They need to teach people how to stay well to start with. There are simple ways to stay well, and it's not just to stop smoking and to stop drinking. Those things are rather basic things. I mean, it has to do with information. I know you've written a number of books, and we have too. We're just beginners at it, but Our people are perishing because they just don't have the knowledge. Let's hope that they'll continue to search out the answers and come up with some of these things that'll prevent them from getting sick in the first place.
Well, let's give these people some knowledge. Let's talk to Jerry in Santa Rosa. Hello, Jerry.
Yes, Dr. Walsh. I have a question about garlic. You mentioned how great it is and everything, and I've been taking a raw clove of garlic every day, chewing it up, swallowing it with water, and I was wondering, is that as good or better than taking a garlic pill? And one other question I have for you is, what is it in garlic and how does it work in the system?
Well, I would say, first of all, that you probably can't get the concentrated levels of garlic in the way you're trying to take it. I think the advantage of aging the garlic is two. Number one, it enhances it. Number two, it makes it odorless. That's why Kyola garlic is good. That's why I appreciate that product. Secondly, it seems that it's the sulfur bonding of the garlic that's so important. And one of the reasons that Kyola garlic is good is because it's grown in a soil that's very rich in the sulfur compounds, along with other certain trace minerals. But basically, that seems to be the key as to why garlic lowers the blood pressure and improves circulation, enhances immunity, and does all these other wonderful magnificent.
I understand it lowers cholesterol by a mechanism similar to that of Mevacor or lovastatin. Let's talk to Kim in Half Moon. Hello, Kim. Are you listening to us on KSRO or KST, Kim?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
What station are you tuned into, Kim? KSRO or KST?
Oh, 6:50 a.m.
There you go. KST 6:50 a.m. That's a knockout powerhouse station. You're on with Dr. Balsh.
Hi. I have a question about my niece who is 18 months, and she has had 11 earaches. And I've heard horror stories of surgery, and she's now being treated with antibiotics, but now has an infection throughout her body. And so I'm wondering
if the first thing I would think that she probably is allergenic to something, probably milk or dairy products. Some allergy is causing the youngster to have problems.
Okay.
That's what I would think.
So have you got the child off the milk?
Yes.
This is a grandchild, you say.
Niece. Soy milk she's taking now.
No cheese.
She's allergic to that too, you see.
Hmm.
In fact, soy is one of those things that's high up on the allergenic list. I think there's a problem with food allergies, especially in youngsters, that goes unrecognized. So I would think that still may be the problem.
What would be an alternative?
You know, once she's eliminated the possibility of allergies, and I know what Kim's getting at, she'd like to know things like ephedra that opens up the ear passages and makes for better drainage, or garlic that improves the immune system so the child isn't going to be,
yes,
you know, those
all
kinds of
those things. Yes.
Mm.
Okay.
I still would look in the area of trying to find out what she may be sensitive to, the baby.
And I would second that, Kim. I mean, you know, usually these are due to cow's milk allergies, you know, cheese, ice cream, cottage cheese, but soy can do it, and so can eggs, and you know, look into
it
the child's diet.
It could be a combination of things, too, Kim.
Okay,
thanks for calling. Let's talk to Elaine in San Francisco. Elaine, you're on with Dr. Balsh.
Excellent program, as usual, Dr. McDougall.
Thank you.
And two things. I need the spelling of the doctor's name, and secondly, I
B-A-L-C-H.
B-A-L-C-H. C-H. Okay, fine.
And the book will be easy to find. It'll be in your natural food stores or your regular bookstores.
Okay. Secondly, I was on the phone stating my question to the producer of the program. Didn't quite catch that list of estrogen alternatives.
Oh, the estrogen alternatives. Well, it's listed in our book, Prescription for Dietary Wellness, on page 20. I'll give them to you quickly. There are a number of them. Dong Quai is one that's a very popular herb. Ginseng is another. Evening primrose oil is another. Suma is another. Black cohosh is another. And one that's always very important, I think, for the ladies is vitamin E. We use a lot of vitamin E.
Okay, well, you can find the book in the bookstore. Thank you for calling. Let's talk to Bill in Santa Rosa. Bill, you're on with Dr. Balsh.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Balsh. I got
Hello.
Two questions. I know it's just about time. I had good luck with vitamin E on ulcerated diabetic sores on my feet.
Yes, sir.
Vitamin E 400. And also comment a little bit on charcoal supplement, please, and I'll
okay,
get
Bill.
Answer.
We'll see what he has to say about charcoal as a nutritional supplement.
Well, you have to be careful. The idea of charcoal is to absorb the toxins that you may be picking up in your foods. We find it very effective if we think we've been poisoned. Phyllis and I travel a lot, and we've been poisoned in the finest restaurants. So you don't want to take the charcoal tablets. If you're taking nutritional supplements too, it'll absorb those and you won't get any of the effect from it. So it's not really designed as a supplement. But if you're going to be in an environment where you think you might get poisoned, say you have to go to a social of some kind and you're not sure what the food is, you might be careful and protect yourself with some charcoal tablets.
You know, the way some of our listeners eat, they'd have to take charcoal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Let's talk to Ellen in Santa Rosa. Hello, Ellen.
Yes. I'm wondering if the doctor has any information about Pod Arco tea.
Yes. Yeah, I like Pod Arco.
We'll have to do it quickly.
It's an immune enhancer, can be used as a tea or supplement or whatever, rotated around with others, echinacea and other immune enhancers. It's a good one.
Well, you can tell the book is filled with a tremendous amount of nutritional information, prescription for nutritional healing, and prescription for cooking and dietary wellness. My guest has been Dr. James Balch and his wife, the brains behind the outfit, Phyllis Balch, as it so often is.
That's right.
Yeah, I want to thank you. You're a fine guest. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much. We'll do it again.
Yeah, we certainly will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Dr. John McDougall on the Northern California Radio Network. Good fun again today. Look forward to joining you tomorrow.